Brian come in the house yelling, "Mama, Mama, Mama." I knew he wasn't hurt. It wasn't that kind of cry, but I just stayed there. I was just beseeching God for something. And he ran on down the hall and threw open my bedroom door and found me on my knees praying. And I thought, I can't think of anything that I would rather him unexpectedly find me doing, because there's so many things I do wrong. It was such a good moment to feel like he's caught me at a time that, and I guess another thing that Kelly said to us was that we did right was, "Mom, y'all made the church the center of our lives." And hopefully they saw we made God the center of our lives, even though we did it so terribly. I mean, we failed as much as we succeeded, but at least that was where our hearts were.
And that's difficult, but I think extremely important that you make Christianity the priority. And that means it has to supersede the Little League ball games. It has to supersede the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and all those other fine activities. But when they conflict with something that's going on at church, you send a strong message when you say, "No, we're going to church instead of doing those activities."
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our second service today here at First Colony. And we are in a message series called 6 Most Common Parenting Mistakes and What to Do About Them. And I'm taking this message series from one chapter in the Bible, from the Older Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Last week we looked at common mistake number 1, which is a lack of parental vision. And the Bible tells us that as parents we need to parent with a view not just to our children, but to our children's children. And parent your kids with their kids in mind. We're not just raising children, we're raising adults. And their growing up years should be an apprenticeship for adulthood. Well, today we'll look at common mistake number 2. Before I get there, though, if you were to read the Bible from cover to cover, you'd find a lot of material there about children. And one of the things that the Bible says repeatedly is that children are a blessing. They are formed by God's hands, and they are indeed a blessing. Now, children will stress, but children also bless, and they are a wonderful gift from God. And all of us here, even if you're not a parent, you still play a role in the lives of a lot of children, because through your friendship as an aunt or an uncle, through a relationship, we all play a pivotal role. I want to start, and before talking specifically about parenting, list 4 overall biblical values that shape Christian families. These apply to all relationships, but you can apply these 4 values especially to your family. Here's the first one, and that is that healthy relationships are just fundamental to the Christian faith. They are fundamental to our faith. If you go to church, but you're not a very nice person, there's a huge disconnect in your faith somewhere. You know, don't skip over all those love verses. So if you go to church, but people say, "You know, you're just kind of mean," you need to go back to square one. Those love verses are in there for a reason, and healthy relationships are fundamental to the Christian faith. And no, you can't program how other people react to you. But as much as it depends upon you, says the Bible, live at peace with all people. Here's the second thing I would underscore. General principle. God's people are to be uniquely different from the surrounding society. Well, this past Thursday, many of us became aware, and now virtually everybody in this room is aware, of the miracle on the Hudson, that U.S. Airways flight that made a successful crash landing, a successful ditching in the Hudson River. It takes off from New York's LaGuardia Airport, a double bird strike, loses both engines, loses power, and in essence, the pilot has to glide the thing down. Captain Sullenberger is his name, and we've got a member here, Kurt Sullenberger, and he's related to him in some way, 15th cousin, something like that, down the line. But, I mean, he's milking it today for all it's worth, of course. But Captain Sully Sullenberger has been lauded as a hero. All 155 passengers survived the impact and were rescued within 20 minutes. It was absolutely incredible. But I got to, and I'm not minimizing what it, that was a heroic action. But I agree with something that Newsweek magazine wrote a few years ago. That the real revolutionaries and heroes in our culture are parents who parent on purpose, specifically Christian parents, who say, we're going to be the salt of the earth. We're going to be the light of the world. We are going to listen to the scriptures and build our families accordingly. And God's people are to be unique in this culture. And your family is as well. Third thing I would underscore today, a general value that shapes family, and that is that commitment is the bedrock upon which every Christian home is built. Commitment. I have a friend who plays a lot of golf. No, I don't mean a lot of golf. I mean a lot of golf. This guy plays golf every day. Unless there's a tornado or a hurricane, this guy plays golf every day. He lives up on the north side of Houston. And some time ago, I was having lunch with him. And I said, you know, I'd love to maybe come up and play golf with you one day. And he said, well, Ronnie, take a dart, throw it at a calendar. Wherever it lands, I'm playing that day. You just count on it. You look in the future, and one thing, if I'm alive, I'm playing that day. Well, commitment means that I'm looking at my wife, and I'm saying, sweetheart, you take a dart, you throw it at a calendar. Wherever it lands down the line, if I'm alive, I'm for you that day, and I'm with you. There are a lot of things that are unpredictable. There are a lot of things that are unsure. There are a lot of things you can't count on. But in the Christian community, we serve a God who makes promises, right? And we serve a God who keeps His promises. And as Christians, we look at one another and we bring it home into our family. And we say to our children, you can never do anything that would cause me to stop loving you. I will always be there for you. I will always be in your corner 120%. Always there for you. Our God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the God we serve. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Amen? I mean, that is great news. And that spirit uniquely shapes us as a people. And that kind of commitment. Kids, you take a dart, you throw it wherever it lands, I'm in your corner 150% that day. To your husband, to your wife, you take that dart, you throw it, I am there for you that day. The fourth thing is this. The Lordship of Jesus Christ compels us to ask first in every situation, what is God's will in this matter? What's God's will here? Because we believe the Lord loves us. We believe that Jesus is the smartest guy in the room. Therefore, we're going to trust and obey whatever He has to say. So, let's take a look now. Let's go back to this wonderful passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're picking up with one of the best known statements in all the Bible. It's called the Shema. And this is going to be very familiar to you. And it's written to parents. Again, as I told you last week, the book of Deuteronomy is really a long sermon, really three of them. Just before the Israelites are about to go into the promised land, Moses is reminding them of what's really important. And parenting is really important. And here are some things that parents need to be aware of. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Remember the first of the Ten Commandments? No gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. In other words, he says, parents, you take your intellect, you take your imagination, you take your abilities, you take your emotions, and everything that's in you. Don't let your life be compartmentalized. Well, you know, I got my church self over here and then my real self. No, no, no. All that you are, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength. And these commandments that I give you today, notice, to parents, he says, this needs to be on your heart. Before it flows to your children's hearts, let it be on your heart. And then he says, and then impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. What's the second common parenting mistake that Moses wants to guard against in the people of Israel and for you and me? This one. Parents who put, let's put this up on the screen. Parents who put their children where only God belongs. We live in a day where many parents make idols out of their children. They want to raise maybe trophy kids. And they love their children, but their love for their children is... I don't know that you can love your children too much. You can love them too imperfectly. And when you place your children in a place where only God belongs, it's devastating to them. And parents who put their children where only God belongs, you're not doing your child a favor. Love God first. And out of your love for God, as you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength, out of that, you parent your children. Children thrive best when parents take care of themselves as well as the kids. Children thrive best when parents take care of their own marriages and especially their own spirituality. Now, my primary job as a dad is to prepare my children for the day of judgment. Let me say that again. My primary job as a dad is to prepare my children for the day of judgment. They are eternal beings. They will stand before the Lord. My children will go to heaven or hell based on their relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to lead them to the Lord. My children are Christians, and I praise God for that. And then they will be rewarded by the Lord based on what, how they serve Him. And my primary job as a dad is to prepare my children to stand before the Lord. And that assignment begins, however, with my own walk with God. Parents, the best gift you give your children is a parent who loves God first. Now, there are a lot of good gifts you can pass along to your children. I mean, the gift of incredible affection and love, where we take our children and apart from trophies and apart from grades, we love them with a love that's just ridiculous and unreasonable and massive and incredible. And they're just tons of affectionate words and expressions of kindness and affection. And maybe you didn't receive that, but you can pass it along. That's a great gift we give to our children. But the best gift you will give to your child is a parent who loves God first. Now, please don't mishear me. This message, I'm not in any way trying to put children down. This is not anti-child message. I'm not saying, hey, let's put kids in their place. I am saying, parents, put God in His place. You need some adult time spiritually. And you need some adult time in your marriage as well. You remember that Christian song that was out a few years ago? It was entitled, Before There Was You. The lyrics go as follows. Children, please give me your kind attention. I have something to say. Here are my intentions. I'm going to go out with your mother tonight. And no, you can't come. And it won't help if you cry. Oh, you may wonder how I could be so heartless to want just your mother and me. Well, she's your dear mother. I know that it's true. But she was my sweetheart before there was you. First, we'll walk by the ocean, and we're going to hold hands. We'll write our names in the wet sand. We'll write I love yous and send them off in a bottle. And then in honor of you, We'll even eat at McDonald's. And she's my sweetheart, even though there is you, and she'll be my sweetheart when there's no more of you. The divorce rate among people 45 and older has been accelerating faster than any other age group. Maybe we've given so much emphasis to being parents, we've stopped being disciples of Jesus and marriage partners. The best gift you give your child is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And out of that, out of your walk with God, then it's just inevitable. Your values, your priorities, the things that get you excited, they just flow from you to your kids on a consistent basis. Well, I've got four very probing questions. Here they are. And these are probing. They may make you a little uncomfortable, but here we go. Do our children limit our ministry? And yes, I understand that your children are a most important part of your ministry, and even as you change diapers, you do it to the glory of God. I know of a young mom over her diaper changing table. She had a sign that said, "Worship services held here several times a day." That is very, very true. At the same time, your children need to see you serve. And your children need to help you serve as you serve in the body of Christ. Second question I would ask is this: do our children see church as our primary community? You heard the Browns and the Carrolls refer to that. I encourage you to be a great church member and let your children watch that up close and personal. And I'm talking to the choir here today because you do it. You make your church family a priority. And as you love your church, as you're involved with church, as church is a source of celebration to you, and you love and honor your brothers and sisters, and as you're involved in such a good way, that sends a great message that these are our people. And a little homing device is built in to your kids. Third question is this: how much of our children's lifestyle is purchased with the Lord's money? There's an excellent book out right now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this because I plan to speak on this topic at length 2 weeks from today. But there's a book called The Price of Privilege that asks this question: why is it that so many kids who have so much grow up feeling so empty and lack a healthy sense of self? They grow up in an affluent environment. But what happens? Folks, money cannot buy emotional health. Money cannot buy spiritual health. And one of the questions we need to ask is, how much of our children's lifestyle is purchased with the Lord's money? And we've not been givers to the Lord. We've not put Him first financially. Fourth question is this: how many of us value the approval of our children more than we value God's approval? And we parent almost out of a sense of insecurity. I have an idea that Noah's kids probably questioned his sanity. "Dad, what are you doing? And why?" But when it started to rain, they praised God for a father who listened to God and for a father who lived by his courageous convictions. Well, I'll say it again. I've got one major point today. Your children are blessed when they get a front row seat, reality TV, and they get a front row seat to watching you love God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And they get to watch what that looks like behind closed doors. And yeah, you'll do it imperfectly. I mean, we all do it imperfectly, and that's part of it. We say, you know, sometimes you have to make apologies, you start over. This is what it looks like to fall on your face and to fall short and start again. But what a gift you give your children as they get to watch your authentic faith up close and personal. That's one of the best gifts you give them. My wife knows a lady. I'll close with this. My wife has a friend, or, you know, not a close friend, but a relationship with a lady who, and a few years ago, something happened with her 15-year-old daughter, where her 15-year-old daughter did something. It was really out of character for her, but she had sinned in a significant way, and coupled with the sin was significant deception and deceit. And as it all came to light, I mean, the girl had a very penitent spirit to her that was good, but there was definitely a rupturing in the relationship. And the mom said, I tell you what, sweetheart, I tell you what we need to do. Right now there's this distance between us. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to try to be as much of a picture to Jesus to you as I possibly can. And what we're going to do is we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do whenever there's a distance in our relationship with Him. He tells us that if ever there's a distance in your relationship with me, you draw close to me. Don't settle for being lukewarm. Don't stay there in that distance. Do some things where you intentionally draw close to me, and I'm going to draw close to you. And so, sweetheart, that's what we're going to do to one another. Over the next few weeks, I want you super glued to my side. And I'm not doing this for punishment. I'm not punishing you saying, okay, I'm going to punish you, therefore, you got to be with me 24th. No, it's not that. We're going to draw close to each other. We're going to cook together. We're going to clean together. We're going to go to the grocery store together. We're moving a cot into our bedroom, and sweetheart, I want you to sleep beside your dad and me. When we go to church, I want you to go to my adult Bible class with me. We're going to be super glued to one another. And she said, sweetheart, and she also said, and I'm not going to be reminding you of your mistake every day. Jesus doesn't do that. When we apologize to Jesus, He does not remind us every single day of our mistake. And I'm not going to be reminding you. This is not punishment. I'm not going to be reminding you every day of your mistake. But there's a distance between us. We need to get close again. And she says, here's what you can expect. You can expect that over the first few days, it's going to feel real awkward. And you probably won't like some of it. But we're going to get as close as we can to one another physically. And out of that, there's going to regrow some emotional closeness. And it occurred. If there's a distance, a chasm in your walk with God right now, I encourage you to draw close to Him, and He will draw close to you. And I encourage you to be as close as you possibly can with your children so they get to watch and catch your authentic love for God. Yes, it'll be imperfect, but it's still real and still authentic. And one of the great things about our God is that in His grace, He makes up for our lack. So I got one major point today. Don't put your kids where only God belongs. Your children will be blessed by a parent who's authentic and passionate in your walk with God. All right, let's stand, please, for our closing prayer and then our closing song. A couple of things before I pray. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And that's where believers all over the world are mindful of the blight and scar upon our world, something called abortion, where unborn babies are are murdered or terminated. Little lives snuffed out. And that is a sad, sad thing that occurs. We need to pray that abortions are minimized. There may be such a thing as an unplanned pregnancy, and there are certainly pregnancies that come about through less than ideal situations, but every life is precious. And so we want to pray for righteousness to be exalted. And let's also pray for ministries such as Cornerstone Christian Academy and for all of those who help Christian families nurture children in such a good way. So let's pray, and then we'll have a concluding song. Lord God, we bring to you every family that's here, and we ask for your energizing work to be done. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, to ignite and reignite our devotion and our love for you, so that our love for you is not just taught, but it's caught. And it just flows from one generation to another. Lord, we pray for every child that we will be a good influence and role model there, and that for those of us who are friends and aunts and uncles and grandparents will play our part. Lord God, we exalt you. We put you first. We put you on the throne of our heart. And we say, oh God, have your way with us. We intercede for our nation. We pray that unrighteousness will be restricted and that righteousness will be exalted. We pray, Lord, against the sin of abortion. We pray for those who have made bad decisions in that regard and who are now plagued by guilt. Heal their guilt. Let them know your grace so that they might build a new life. And Lord God, we pray for our new president as he takes office this week. And we pray for our nation that righteousness and justice will flow like a river. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Your gospel, O Lord, is a hope of a nation. You are the Lord. It's the power of God for our salvation, and you are the Lord. We ask not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance, give us the lost. You are the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power.
That you were here and with us today. To our guests, a very special welcome to you. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy this nice Sunday. You are dismissed.